Thanks very much for the welcome. It's lovely to be back here. Carrickfergus Baptist just goes up and up in my estimation, because the first time I was here a couple of years ago, we had a lovely Spanish supper, sort of tortilla and so on, and that was great, but they started Sunday morning with a bacon butty. Maybe next year we'll have to bring over a paella and make a big paella or something and enjoy that together. It's lovely to be here, and a real sense of, even as chatting with folk beforehand, just so encouraging. I want to thank you. And a real sense of getting to know people a little bit more, getting to know the church, and really appreciate your investment with us as a family. And also, before talking about Spain, can I also just thank you on behalf of Baptist Missions. I know it's a church that for many years and in many different facets, through people, through finances, has supported the work of Baptist Missions. We want to thank you for that as well. Just a couple of things to mention. Prayer news, I'm sure you're all signed up for prayer news. I'm sure you all get it every week. Wonderful little tool that comes out just with prayer points from the different missionaries. You can get it now straight to your phone. You can probably get it on your watch now or something if you have that facility. If you haven't ever signed up, okay, during the course of the morning, you can confess your sins, right? And then on the way out, there's a little place where you can sign up for that. It's a great tool. Very wonderful just to keep in touch with what is going on in different parts of the world. And just as many of you know, I'm sure Mervyn has been here at some point, sort of bringing a new face, moving into new age and different initiatives. And one of the things we'd like to mention and just encouraging people, one, to pray for us, but also to prayerfully consider whether you could be one of these people that says, count me in. I asked three young people last week, are you all in? And they said, yeah, we're all in. Count me in. And then I explained what it was and they were like, oh, I'm sorry, no, it's not. That's not us. I'll not give any names. But this is an initiative just praying, particularly to raise up a new generation of supporters for the mission. One of the things that I've noticed ourselves as associate workers, we have to raise our support, which is channeled through Baptist Missions. And many of the folk that regularly support our work are my parents' generation and above. And it seems that was a pattern in the past. I'm sure many of us grew up in that situation of regularly giving, whether to local church or to mission. And it seems that that's been lost a little bit. And we're looking to try and encourage a new generation. I know young people, they never have any money, right? Who's young here? Never has some of the old people never have any money either. But they all seem to have money to go to cinema. £10 is like cinema ticket. And I don't know if you would even get some popcorn from that for £10. It's doable. And the thing is, if everybody does a little bit together, then we could see more families sent out to the mission field. We could see some of the projects developed and grow. So I'd really encourage you to prayerfully consider that. If you want information, there's information out on the table as well. And I'm sure you can always get that through Dave or through Pamela and David or through other sources. But do prayerfully consider what's all our part in this role. One person I'd like to mention who probably often gets passed by because we're praying for the missionaries out in the field and so on. But Joanne Dunstan, real key piece in the whole mission family, just a wonderful servant. And do please pray for her and her work day by day from the office in Moira, but really supporting the workers and supporting Mervyn in his role. Well, just about Spain, I know I'm always very conscious, and particularly now coming back to Carrick, and I don't want to go over it, but some of the slides are there, so it just refreshes our memory. In Spain, as Baptist Missions, we work under Federation of Independent Evangelical Churches, and this is just a map of where we have different churches and mission points around Spain. So even though we're working in a local church, we're also working with the wider body and other churches, and myself particularly across the southern region, across Andalusia. Vast majority of those churches small, many of them struggling, some of them are 10 people, some of them maybe 20, 30 people, and so great needs. But do remember us in that role. Just to present our team, Andrew and Ruth Reed, I'm sure many of you know them. Do remember them. Their eldest daughter, Naomi, just started at Queen's this year. And also Anna, their second daughter, is now in the phase where she's kind of praying about futures in her last year at school, looking at future options. So do remember them in their work and ministry up in Barcelona. And I know many of you know, this is our latest photo. There are some of the cards again on the table. Please help yourself and take those so you can remember us. Rosalia and Natalie are still back in Spain, and Rebecca, as you know, just so it's easy to recognize her, she's wearing the same dress today, so there you go, she'll be easy to spot. But Rebecca's into her second year studying A-levels in Dungannon. It was a big step last year to leave home and come over here, and we do value your prayers for her. Certainly they were answered last year because she did very well in her exams. And pray for her. She's in a little bit of that sort of struggling stage, you know, A-levels, and it's a lot of work. So do please pray for her and for us, often at a distance. It's not always easy. A few weeks ago, she was on the phone. She just wasn't doing well. She's a bit sick. And it's just hard sometimes, that distance. So do please remember her as you remember all the families and the different needs. Well, our team has been growing this year. Johnny and Hannah Young. Some of you may know Johnny is originally from Windsor Baptist. They were latterly working in Glasgow. Last summer, both of them gave up very good jobs they had in Glasgow just to come out to Spain, find jobs out there, and just work in there and be part of the local church setting. And they've been a real blessing, just helping sort of try to develop or restart some young adults' work. So do please remember them. We have another couple. Mervyn's listed them as our mystery couple. It's not a great mystery, but the reason we're not identifying them is they previously worked in the Arab world. They still have contacts there, and out of respect, particularly for people they know, and we're just not identifying, but they've come to live in the town of Medina Sidonia, which I've mentioned before. I'll mention a little bit later. But do pray for them. Pray for us as a team. We also have Chloe Somerville from Dromore Baptist, Tim Beattie from Moira Baptist. They're out for 1 year just supporting the work and learning and experiencing mission at first hand. So I just want to ask you to pray for us as a team as we wrestle with how we work together. For us, it's a real encouragement, having for so long just been one family now. But there's challenges in that as well, so we value your prayers. But I also find that just for each of us, it's a challenge. You know, I think it was Alison prayed earlier on about, you know, missionaries being sent out, and there's still a need for supported missionaries to go. But it also challenges each of us to ask, well, where's my role? Because suddenly we have a young couple going in a tent-making capacity, just working in Spain and being part of the work there. We have an early retired couple who said, well, they got in touch with Mervyn and said, look, we're just thinking, is there a way that we can support the work? And we talked with them, and eventually they've moved out to Medina Sidonia just to help facilitate church planting work there. Young people who are thinking of a gap year, saying, well, let's do that for a year in Algeciras. We're starting to pray for 4 people for next year, so maybe there'll be somebody from Carrick who's in that position. Well, what will I do next year? Opportunities there in so many different ways. I was talking with Archie earlier on. He said, I almost came to Algeciras a few years ago. Is that right? Well, there's still time, Archie. Don't see him here. I'm having problems seeing it at the minute. But there's still time. And so in different ways, we can all sort of look, how can we support the work? Maybe not just in prayer and finances, but also going and just experiencing and learning. As I'm sure many of you know, so I'll not dwell on this, but just for those of you who don't, we're way down in the south of Spain. Really, sort of the next stop is Africa for us, and we have Gibraltar. So very much a crossroads of civilizations. A place where many opportunities, we have many towns around about us, and I'll mention that, where there's no gospel witness at all. Again, just to remind ourselves, I know many of us know Spain as a holiday destination, but it's still a country where it's estimated that more than 10 million people live in towns or neighborhoods outside of the range of the gospel. There's an organization which collates data, and they estimate with outside of more than 5 kilometers from an evangelical church, more than 10 million people still today. So it's a country of tremendous, tremendous spiritual needs. This is the Renathair family. This is our church on our retreat last year. We have a church retreat once a year. And it's a little small group. We have about a congregation of maybe about 70, 80 people on a Sunday morning. A real mix of nationalities. This was from last year. We had our international, we had 18 countries represented, just celebrating the variety, but also presenting the gospel that is the same for all, and a wonderful opportunity. I'd just like to mention, and I know you have been praying for this, because I know this is something I've asked for before, but first of all, in the need for premises, for any of you who get prayer news, you'll have seen that last Friday I put a note in that actually the latest place that we were looking for has essentially fallen through as well. Just the week, about 5 days before I came over to Northern Ireland, we had a meeting with the office bearers in the church and basically realized because of some complications and certain requirements that the bank was putting on us, we've basically pulled the plug on that option. So there's an element of frustration. At the same time, there's an element of, okay, maybe this is time to stop. Not go back to the drawing board, but go back to the Lord and say, okay, how do we move forward here? Part of our problem is that the problems that we had with this latest building that we were looking at, we feel we're essentially going to have with any option we look at. So we maybe need to rethink how we approach this. So do please pray for us. It's not an urgent need in the sense that, you know, we're so bursting at the seams that we're having to turn people away. But it is a need in the sense that some of the ministries, and particularly Sunday school and classes that we would like to offer, we're not able to because we don't have the space for that. And it is also a need in the sense that I was talking with one of our elders recently, and I said, I think one of our biggest dangers at the minute is we're comfortable. He said, well, why is that a problem? I said, that's a big problem in the church. If we get comfortable and everything's ticking along and we're doing okay and we're covering our needs and we're paying our bills, but it can be a very dangerous sort of mindset to get into. So pray that the Lord stirs us up a little bit, you know, but that also we just sense his leading and for wisdom and how to move forward, because it is an ongoing need, but there's no easy sort of simple options. So do please pray for us in that. And also the area of leadership development. Peter already introduced Pablo. I'm going to ask Pablo just to stand up. He hates me doing this, but anyway, just so you see him. This is Pablo. Pablo, I shouldn't really introduce him because I had a lifetime of this, but I will anyway. He's the son of one of our elders from the church, but he just started at IBC. You can sit down unless you want to say something. But I'm going to ask you to pray for Pablo. You know, it's not easy to study theology, but in a foreign language. So pray. I think he's doing really well from what I've heard. But do pray for him. Do encourage him. If you're ever down at the Baptist Center, encourage him. Take him out for a coffee. You know, students always have time for a coffee. But do encourage him. But also, I would ask you to, in some ways, for me, Pablo represents a young generation in the Spanish church. I know one or two young Spanish pastors, real great potential. But it's a real challenge. So many of our churches don't have the possibility to send young people to get theological education. Many of the pastors and leading elders have never had any formal theological education. And with the growth, that becomes a real challenge and often creates conflict where you have people maybe not trained for the ministry, and how do they see the church grow and develop. So do please pray, not just for us in Renathair, but pray for the Spanish church, the whole area of leadership development. That's why I really value prayers for Andrew Reed. The role that he's in of developing programs for training is such a key need in Spain. So we're encouraged. I think there's a, you know, even just in our church, there are two or three great folk that you look at and think, we'd love to invest in them. And I know in other churches, it's a challenge. So do please pray for this need generally in the Spanish church. What I'd like to do is just mention three particular projects. I know I'm always aware we can't tell everything. So again, Peter said, I'm at the end. Afterwards, I'm not rushing away if you ever have questions. But I'd like to mention three ministries. Some of them I've mentioned before, so I hope you're not sitting there thinking, this guy comes every year and he says the same thing. That may be partly because sometimes, you know, work in Spain is slow. But there is growth. And this new project that I would like to present is we're calling New Generation. Again, I'm sure the general ministry, for those of you who've been here in the past, you'll remember that over the past number of years, one of the areas we've just seen the Lord really opening doors has been with children from Muslim background. And these photos were taken from our church retreat this year. The one on the left, I think with the exception of three of those kids, all the rest are from Muslim background, Muslim families. It seems we, at the minute, we have an open door. These kids are coming along to our reading club. It's a little club we have once a month for the kids. We have in our last year in our holiday Bible school in July, over the course of a week, we had about 100 kids come along, and about at least 30 of those kids were Muslim children. So this is, they're coming along to church, they're hearing the gospel. And the reason we've sort of, in the past, I think I've mentioned this before, we have managed to raise funds to take these kids on our church retreat and send many of them to Christian camps in the summer. But now we're looking at something a little bit different, because one of the areas that we're wrestling with is, this is just again photos of some of the kids we've had contact with over the years. We know of at least four of these girls who have to some level made a profession of faith. It's sometimes hard to know the level of their understanding. There are two of them, the two wee girls on the right. As far as I can humanly tell, I am fairly certain they are Christians. They speak about the church. They come with an enthusiasm. Their understanding is incredible. And I'm talking about 10 and 12-year-old kids who just show a level of maturity that goes way beyond anything I've seen We know they have had cases. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, one of our summer teams, these girls came up to one of the girls and said to her, look, we gave them some literature. She said, can you take this out of my package? If I take this home, our mother will beat us. It was actually the stepmother who's had problems. We know they have faced beatings just for coming along to church. The thing that amazes me is they still desire to come. And we know that the father still at the minute seems open to allow them to come along to. When I say come along to church, I mean have contact with the church. They're not able to come on Sunday mornings. It's just not safe. And the father has experienced a lot of pressure from the wider family to not allow this contact. So there's a constant spiritual battle for the lives of these kids. I know that's true in every case. But do please pray for these kids. Pray for us. But this project that we're calling New Generation, we're still kind of wrestling a little bit. How can we find ways to really bring these kids onto maturity? Because one of the things we've seen it with one of the girls up here, with another girl who's a little bit older, that when they get to about, particularly the girls, when they get to about 15, we lose contact with them. And we're wrestling with this. How do we maintain this contact in a way that is not threatening to them? There's one of the girls who doesn't come along anymore. When she sees there's a lady from the church who they live in the same neighborhood, and she won't greet her in the street because she just says it can be dangerous for her to be associated with this lady. So it's a real challenge to know how to disciple kids, how to maintain this contact, but in ways that won't create extra problems for them in their society and in their families. So do please pray for us in this. Pray for much wisdom. Pray for creative ideas. One of the things that we're wrestling with, and that's where the project New Generation comes, is we're seeking to perhaps run little retreats. It could be a Friday, Saturday. It could just be a Saturday. Probably mixed with other youth, so it's not seen as something, oh, they're just, you know, targeting kids from this background, but wherein we can take them out of their context. It may be through doing English club or English school or, you know, there's different ways, but that through that we can also then be discipling them and help them to grow in maturity in the Lord. So do please pray. It's not an easy, it's hard to capture everything, but I'm sure you're very aware the Muslim faith is a completely anti-Christian faith. And so these kids grow up with a lot of pressure to conform, pressure to not have any contact with the church. So do please pray for these kids. I can't say their names, but you just, some of the faces, and even generally, pray for these kids. Pray for us for much wisdom to know how to bring them on to maturity. Well, very quickly, we've mentioned this before. Folks from here have been involved before. Our children's ministry continues to grow. We now have, aside from just in the summer with the Holiday Bible Club, Rosalia, over the past couple of years, has run a small discipleship group with preteen girls. We'd love to start one for boys as well. And just great opportunities. Again, many of these kids who are coming along are not from Christian homes. And so one of our prayers is really through this that families come to know the Lord. We're seeing lots of opportunities with kids, bringing them along to different events. But we would love to see the families really touched with the gospel. So do pray for us in this. And the final thing I'd like to mention this morning, again, mentioned it before, it's an ongoing prayer request. Medina Sidonia is a town that we've been praying into and evangelizing for probably 4 or 5 years now. And this year, our mystery couple, they have now moved into Medina Sidonia. They're very interesting because our expectations when they first came was, and their expectations was not that they would be the classic church planting couple. They're just starting out and learning language. And we thought, well, it's going to take them a while just to get settled and so on. We were up there a few weeks ago. We went out and had coffee. And they seem to know half the town already. They're absolutely brilliant. They're just settling in, but just getting known as Christians living in the town. We went down for a coffee, and the man, he just kind of like hails the waiter by name, and just the usual, please. And the guy just comes out with 6 coffees for us all, and everything's brilliant. So do pray for them as they settle in, but pray for us. We're hoping to run 2 or 3 different outreach events in the run-up to Christmas, and really praying about in January starting perhaps some sort of kind of Christianity Explored type meeting, just where maybe we'll run over 4 or 5 weeks where we can hopefully see people come along that have shown an interest and really to be able to present to them the gospel in a clear and culturally appropriate way. So do please pray for this. It's early steps, But obviously our desire is to really see a church planted there. So pray for this couple. Pray that we could find another couple from the church. There's a lady in our church who's always sort of in and out of jobs. So I'm praying that we can find her a job in Medina Sidonia, and we'll send her out there just to live there and be part of that dynamic. And so do please pray for us. It's not an easy place, as I've said. It's 14,000 people. There's no evangelical church in the town. But I'll finish with this, because back in May when we had the international night, this couple, they made little shortbread shamrocks, you know, maybe because they were representing Ireland. So they made little shamrocks and green glitter all over it and la-di-da, right? So they had a sort of few biscuits left over. So she thought, well, I'll take them to my landlady. So she takes them down to her landlady, right? Now, this is somebody who's, I think she's, well, she's early retirees, right? She's just starting to learn Spanish. So instead of going for something nice and easy and say, well, let's, you know, try and tell her that Jesus loves her, she starts to try and explain the Trinity using the shamrocks, right? I don't know how she did it, but she somehow managed to communicate. But at one point, her landlady just stopped her and says, are you an evangelical? And she was almost taken aback. She said, yes. She says, wait a minute. And the landlady ran off into her house and came back with a Bible. And what they said is she told the couple that she reads it every day. And seemingly, and we had heard about this couple, but years ago, I'm not sure how, probably about 7 or 8 years ago now, there was a couple of Latin American missionaries who had lived in Medina Sidonia, and we think they were from Puerto Rico, because we'd met a few people who had contact. And so Luth, the landlady, said that this couple had lived in the same flat that has been rented now. And it was just a real sense of God going before us. You know, on the human level, we see a hard time. I remember the first times we went there, even trying to just talk to people or give them a piece of literature, they were like, why are you talking to me? That sort of attitude is just totally very cold. And we have seen a change, but we have over the years just come across different people who have had contact with the gospel in the past. So do please pray for us that as we sort of, in a sense, go into this new phase of having somebody living there and hopefully starting regular meetings, that the Lord will just bring us into contact with people that he's already been preparing, and that we can soon see a church started there. You're all invited to the official inauguration of the church in Medina Sidonia, okay? So if some of you think you have very few years left, you need to get on your knees to see this happen. But certainly, I was writing to some folk this week, and I said, that would be my thrill to write out and say, all the folks that have just been involved in different ways to come and see that. It'll be a great day. In Medina Sidonia, there are probably about 4 or 5 towns roundabout in a similar situation. So great needs in this land, great opportunities. So do please pray. We've shared the thrill of new team, of growing, of people coming, but there's still so much more need, and we're just reminded afresh of Jesus' words to his disciples. The fields are white for harvest, but the laborers are few. Pray for the Lord to send out laborers into his harvest fields. So take that as a prayer. And thank you for remembering us in the work in Spain. Perhaps just for a few minutes, we could turn to God's word. I'd like to read a few verses, probably unusual verses in some ways for a missionary meeting. I'd like to read a few verses from Exodus chapter 33. And I'll just read from verse 12 to 16. Exodus chapter 33 says this, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. And he, this is God speaking, he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said, this is, and Moses said to him, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? The how and the why of mission work is just as important, perhaps even more important, than the what or the where or the when. What do I mean by that? It's great to share about Spain in different places, but if we don't have clear the why and the how, we'll probably forget about this in 2 weeks' time. The context of this passage that I've read, and as I said, it may seem a strange passage, but I think it's an absolutely fascinating conversation between Moses and God. And there's so many bits of it that I've struggled with for years. You know, when Moses said, you know, God says, my presence will go with you. And Moses immediately answered, but if your presence won't go with me, but you think, hold on, God's just said he will go with you. And, you know, and there's this back and forward, you know, God says to Moses, you know, these people that you brought out of Egypt, no, they're your people. You know, it's kind of this back and forward. And it's fascinating. But the wider context, which I'm sure many of us are familiar with, was while Moses was up in the mountain, receiving instructions about the tabernacle, which was all about how can a holy God live amongst a sinful people? So in a sense, Moses is getting all these instructions about God's presence amongst his people, and the people are down the bottom complaining about the absence of God and the absence of Moses and decide, let's make our own gods. And they make a golden calf. Well-known episode. But what this, in a sense, the context here seems to me all about their identity as God's people. And so in this ongoing conversation between Moses and God, and there's so much in these chapters, but I'd like to mention there's two things that stand out to me as potential temptations or challenges that often come to all of us in God's work. The first is the challenge of personal kingdom building. It's very interesting. When God first tells Moses about the golden calf, he makes this offer to Moses, which is absolutely astounding if you stop and think about it. He basically says to Moses, and you can read this in chapter 32, verse 10, he says, now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and I may consume them in order that I may make you a great nation. So God's, in a sense, saying to Moses, I'll get rid of all of these people and I'll start afresh with you. So the children of Israel die and the children of Moses starts. That's a pretty scary thought. And of course, Moses' reaction was like, no. Now we'll come back to why he says no. But there's a temptation always in God's work, whether we're on the mission field or whether we're in our own church, to build our own little kingdoms. And it's something that we always need to be guarding against. We need to be aware of, we need to be conscious of, and we need to watch out for it. Now, very few of us are in a situation like Moses. And you might say, well, that never happens in Carrickfergus Baptist. But just think a minute what God was saying to Moses. He says, all these stubborn, troublesome people that just never give you a moment's peace, I'll get rid of them all for you. And you can do things your way. Now, that is a temptation we face. Think about your own work in your own church. How many times have you looked at one of your brothers and sisters and said, I wish God would just take them away from here? Some of you are smiling, so there's a few guilty consciences. We're very subtle about it, but when we sort of start along this, you know, this has got to happen my way, we always need to be aware that we're not sort of building the kingdom of Andrew instead of the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Allison, or the kingdom of Peter, or Pablo, or whoever. There's a great temptation, because on the face of it, it seems that everything will go well once things are done my way, but it's not like that. There's another temptation that is here, which is perhaps even more, dare I say it, dangerous or more subtle. At the beginning of chapter 33, God says something to Moses. Again, interesting. This is after they've confronted the people. The Levites have taken up the sword. The people have been punished. It seems like we're getting back on track. And God says to Moses, beginning of chapter 3, depart, go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your offspring I will give it. I will send an angel before you. I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. Wow. We're back on track. And God's basically saying to Moses, head out there, I'll send my angel, I'll do everything you want, I'll give you everything I've promised you, and it'll be fine. Did anybody read on? Because there's a catch. Did you see it? He You see, it all sounds fantastic, but actually God says something which says, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. This is the temptation of what I would call a sacrifice-less mission, where on the face of it, all the marks of what, by our standards, we would call success. So in the case of the Israelites, it's they get the land that's been promised. God says he's going to send his angel before them. He's going to drive out all the nations so they don't even have to fight. Everything on a plate, as it were. But God says, but I won't go with you. Why is this tempting? Because it looks good. It seems that we are achieving a lot. But the serious problem when God says, but I will not go with you. Eugene Peterson, I'm sure many of you know him as an author. And I can't remember, I couldn't find the quote, but in one of his books, he talks a lot about how people do not want God in their lives. And he's talking about the church. You say, well, that's not us. But very often, there is a danger that we go about our business and we achieve great things, and yet somehow God's presence gets lost in the process. You see, the issue here with Moses and with the people, it wasn't just God who was sort of tagging along to give them everything they wanted. It was a holy God who would live amongst them. And God's holiness is a wonderful thing, but it demands everything. It demands we change. It refines. It molds us. It shapes us. And sometimes it hurts. And sometimes it costs us. And the question we have constantly to bring ourselves back to as we seek to go about God's work is, do we desire the presence of God in our midst? Are we willing to give or to give up whatever it takes to maintain his presence in our lives? It's a deep challenge. And it's in this context that this conversation, the verses that I read, happen. Insightful conversation. As I said, you know, there's this back and forward. And the verse that I've always struggled with to understand, and I think I'm taking a few steps forward, but in verse 14, he says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Now, one of the things that's often lost in the English, but we need to understand, when God says to Moses, my presence will go with you, the you is singular. So we're back almost to the original temptation. God says, I'm going to go with you. And when Moses replies, he says, if your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. It's almost like Moses, I think in some ways God is testing him. And Moses, who was then subsequently known as the meekest man who lived, I think this is where he shows it. Because what he's saying, in essence, what I understand he's saying to God is, it's not enough that you just go with me. I am not seeking anything for myself here. You need to go with us. You need to be in the midst of us. And why is that? Verse 16, and this is really where I wanted to get to, that if we can go away with this, he says, how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth? I am not a Hebrew scholar by any definition of the term, but I understand that the word in Hebrew that is used for people is the exact same word that God had used when the people first arrived in Sinai in chapter 19, and God said to the nation of Israel, he says, now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. And it seems that Moses is appealing back to his calling. And in essence, he's saying to God, if you do not go with us, we can never be the people that you have called us to be. If you do not go with us, how will it be known? In other words, how will the nations ever know that you are God? How will the nations ever know what it means to be the people of God? And Moses is in essence saying that's the most important thing. It's not just about getting to the promised land. It's not just about receiving all the blessings that God promises us. It is about being God's people so that the nations may know who he is. And that really gets back to the heart of what I said at the beginning. The why and the how of missions. The why is in essence, it's because that's who we are. At its root, mission is never just something that we do as God's people. It's who we are. We are called to be a missionary people. And so Moses wrestling here is not about just if we do this or if we not do this. It's about who we are. And he's saying we can only ever be God's missionary people if God's presence is working amongst us in a dynamic and real way. The Apostle Peter, writing to the church many centuries later, makes a direct link with what God had said to the children of Israel. He says, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his light." God has called us to be his people. I believe in a very base sense, he has not called us to do mission. He's called us to be a missionary people. And the only way to be that is to cultivate his presence amongst us, in our lives individually and as a people. If we get this right, everything else falls into place. If we get it wrong, nothing else matters. That's essentially what Moses was saying here to God. And so as we think about our involvement in mission, I just encourage you again. Maybe, I don't know, different people visualize things in different ways. Maybe you want to just, in your mind, go to the mountain with Moses. But see, where's God leading you as a church? Where's God leading you as a family? Or as an individual? Yes, God will help you. God will fulfill his promises. But do we have that sense of, I will only take one step forward if you go with me? If this is in keeping with what you want of me, if this will enable us to be your people, to reflect your glory. At least two of our songs, I picked that up, talked about the glory of God being known. That's what we are about. So the high of mission is all about cultivating God's presence through radical commitment to holiness. That's what makes us distinct. It's not all the things that we do that make us distinct. It is God's presence amongst us that makes us different. And the why? It's Moses' call. How shall it be known? It is the desire to see God glorified in everything we do and say. Let's just pray a minute and I'll hand back to Peter. Lord, we just thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, the challenge. Lord, I know that we live in a perhaps a culture that has perhaps emphasized activism and what we do. And yes, we need to work. Yes, we need to put our hand to the plow. Yes, we need to be involved in different things. But Lord, free us from any sense of either trying to build our own kingdoms or any sense of just wanting everything that you can give us, all the blessings, but somehow losing our connection with you along the way. Lord, we reaffirm this morning, we want to be your people. But that doesn't come from all the things we do. That comes from you being central in our lives and your presence being dynamically active amongst us. Help us to respond, Lord, to all you're calling us to be, so that through that, we are equipped to do what you call us to do. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.